Looking for the simpler side of Scott Johnson? Look no further than Diary of a Cartoonist, a podcast available now for you to listen to. Go to frogpants.com/diary today.
Wrong one. Coming up on TMS, if you want to talk about a book, you should probably read it too.
Man licked an eyeball and got the book thrown at him.
Idiot in Boston is getting evaluated as we speak.
That's so two different things. I know. Cutting off your what and jumping off a what?
Fast and Furious gets a little help from some brothers.
Therapy Thursday.
Your emails and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Off into space. Man, that takes real teamwork. And here's a team of junior spacemen with an out-of-this-world breakfast that teams up V8 juice and Cheerios for flavor and energy. What a treat! A flavorful glassful of refreshing V8 juice and Cheerios with power protein, plus vitamin B1 for go power. And now, here's a special out-of-this-world free offer. This moon rocket kit, both a toy and an exciting game. First, blast off. It separates in midair and lands two spacemen on a moon map. You get this wonderful game only through this free offer. Send your name and address and one V8 label plus one box top from these specially marked packages of Cheerios, Kix, or Frostios to Moon Rocket Kit, Mount Vernon 10, New York. Get Campbell's V8 cocktail vegetable juice with any one of these Big G cereals.
I hate to say this, but I'm not a hypocrite.
The Morning Stream. The Morning Stream. The Morning Stream. The Morning Stream. The Morning Stream.
Wrecked him, damn near killed him. This is The Morning Stream.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to The Morning Stream. The Morning Stream. You know,
come
I'm having
on, it's spring.
I'm having. Hey, whatever happened to Frostios? Just checking in on
yeah,
that.
Yeah, okay. Their commercials were too long because of their giveaways, and they ran out of time to actually make the cereal.
There's two things wrong with that commercial. One, never heard of Frostios. That must have been a bygone thing from another era. Must not have worked out. Second, nobody should be eating Cheerios with V8 juice.
Yeah, right.
Good Lord, how bad does that sound? It's a sleepy Thursday morning wow. Stream. I know.
Let's get the weekend, Scott. Come on. Don't take my weekend away from me.
I didn't sleep very well. And then when I did finally fall asleep, then I slept too well. And then I woke up late and here we are. That's kind of the sequence of things. So last night at about, 7 o'clock, about 8 o'clock, I thought, you know what? One quick couple of things in Diablo and then I'm going to go to bed. So getting into Diablo.
Mm-hmm. I can just see where this is going.
Yeah. And Ralph, and one Matt Anderson and one Eric Van Skyhawk were all on too. And we thought, well, that's a group of four right there. That's what you got right there. So let's go see if we can do a Nephilim Rift or whatever they call them. It's this, this cool event thing you can do now.
Ooh.
Uh-huh. So we did this rift, and it's this gate to hell, right? And you go into this terrible hellscape, and the four of you fight demon after demon, and we have it on some horribly cranked up high level because we're all level 70. We're all trying to get high end gear and whatnot. Absolute chaos in there. Just action packed, death to the minions of the primeval.
From every angle.
Oh, it's the worst. Really great. Really good fun. And that should take no time, but it takes a while. And we die sometimes, and we live, and we get cool gear, and we do things, and we get to the end, and they go, hey, I could do one more. And I say, yeah, I could do one more. So we play one more. Now, it's about 2 hours of Diablo right there.
Yeah.
You go to bed, and you think, I'm not going to read. I'm not going to watch TV. I'm not going to do anything. I'm going to clear my mind, and I'm going to have a nice night's sleep. No. Yes. That's all I dreamt about all night. Was all these things in a game. I hate that. Oh, my gosh, I hate that. I mean, I love games, but I don't like dreaming about them. So I dreamt about that. Couldn't sleep. It kept waking me up. Finally fell asleep. Jolted awake this morning by a mystery alarm somewhere in the house. It's not next to me. It's not next to Kim. It's somewhere else. And I just don't know where. But it's going, beep, 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 beep. I'm pissed because the kids... start spring break today. They're not going to school. They don't have to get up, right? So they're asleep, but yet there's an alarm going off. So I get up bleary-eyed and stupid-toed and start walking around the house like, where is this thing? I find Nick's iPad. It has an alarm set for... There's a nice one right there in your
background. That's a funny timing. Yeah, no kidding.
There's an alarm set for 5 a.m. That's what time it is. I'm like, what is he doing? He doesn't get up on that. That's not even a school time get-up thing.
Right.
So he's dinking around with his thing, I'm sure.
Let alone the fact that it's spring break.
Yeah. Oh my God. So I turn it off and I leave it where I found it. Go back to bed. Half hour later, beep, 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 beep. I go check it. I'm like, did I snooze it? No, he has another alarm set for 5:30. Do it again. Go to bed. Beep, beep, beep. It's 6 a.m. He had gone in and set like 12 alarms all in a half hour increment from 5 a.m. through the day. I don't know why. He was just dinking around.
So he did it or somebody playing a joke on him thinking that iPad would be in his room with him?
Possibly, but he's the only one with the code, so I don't know. Like he's got a code nobody in the house knows to get into his iPad. Yeah.
Oh, that's no good.
That's a terrible idea.
You can't let that stand.
I know. I know. One day it's setting alarms. The next day it's horse porn. You know, I don't know.
You sure you didn't hit snooze accidentally?
I'm positive. Positive. Okay. Yeah,
you know how to use them Apple products.
Yeah. I've been around that block. But anyway, I was just so frustrated. And he's not even up yet. So I can't even ask him what happened. Finally lay back down, wake up at like 7:30. Like, oh, shite, I have a show in a half an hour. So it didn't go well this morning.
Aww.
It's fine, though. It's fine, because as compared to yesterday... Well, let me tell you what happened yesterday.
Yeah.
Got an email here to the to my email address. By the way, this is the morning stream for Thursday.
Did I not say that?
April 17th, 2014. Sorry.
I guess we launched right into Frostios.
I guess we did. And who doesn't? So I get an email, and I thought this whole Noah thing was behind us, right? The whole conversation,
right.
The zeitgeist of the talking point had come and it had gone and we were done talking about it. I'd seen the movie. I thought it was entertaining. There's some people are still irritated that it exists, blah, blah, blah. And we were fine with that. We're just going to let it go. Let it go, right? So,
oh, no. Now you're going to get the Frozen emails.
I know. They're going to be pissed. Happy or pissed. I don't know which. But anyway,
how dare you sing that Adele Dazeem song?
I got an email yelling at me in all caps, which I haven't had in a long time, an all caps email yelling at me about how the whole Noah movie lost him and he could not take it seriously and would never recommend it to anybody ever because the movie has a scene where it depicts Noah as drunk. It's specifically a scene where he's like buck naked, laying face down in the dirt, drunk as a skunk. And he says he just couldn't deal with, he can't deal with that kind of fakery, that kind of artistic license, their decision to turn him into this drunken fool that had to be covered up. His sons had to come out with a fur blanket and cover the poor soul up because he was so drunk out of his mind, right? Yeah. And so he's right. That scene exists. It's in the movie.
Yeah, but what's wrong with that scene? I mean, was Noah a teetotaler?
His point in this all caps email was that is a case where they absolutely should not have made something up, that they should have gone from the scriptural account. This was a holy man who they shouldn't have depicted in this way because it just is not true to the source material. Brian, I might direct you to the King James Bible, Genesis chapter 9, verse 21, which reads, are you ready for this?
I'm ready. Oh, boy.
Right after 20, which says, and Noah began to be a husbandman and planted a vineyard. All right? So he's doing animal stuff and planting stuff.
Right.
Verse 21. And he drank of the wine, and he was drunken, and he was uncovered in his tent.
Oh.
Okay. Now, wait. There's more. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brethren about it, or without, meaning, come here, Shem and Hee-Haw. Let's go take care of this. 23.
Shem and Hee-Haw.
Shem and Hee-Haw. The seed of Hee-Haw was a strong family.
Why do I not read the Bible more often?
I know, right?
Such great characters like Shem and Hee-Haw.
23. And Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it upon their shoulders and went backward and covered the nakedness of their father, and their faces were backward, and they saw not their father's nakedness. Mm. It's in the freaking scripture! The whole thing. I'm yelling in caps now.
Yes, very good. Well, you know. So did you respond to this person with, you know, like copy and paste out of...
Yes, and he hasn't replied, of course. I just said, well, I'm just going off what's in the Bible here. So you tell me what's, is this not in there? And I haven't heard anything back. Here's my guess. Mm-hmm. I actually don't have a problem with people having these issues with the movie.
Sure.
I have a problem with people who have issues with things like that don't know what they're talking about. That either they don't know about the movie at all because they didn't see it, or in this guy's case, he saw it, or maybe he just knows about the scene and complained about it. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But he's defending a thing that isn't accurate because he hasn't read the thing he's defending. It's like people who say, I know my First Amendment rights, and they don't know the first word in the First Amendment, or they've never actually read the First Amendment. They don't know what rights it gives them. They just have some vague thing that's been passed down through the ages, so they just spout it out. Oh, hey, I got the right to slander you because that's free speech, right? No, right. That's illegal. And it's actually called out in the First Amendment. You're not allowed to be a dick.
But I know my rights.
See? Exactly.
Somebody read them. Somebody on Fox News explained them to me.
Anyway, that's all I'm going to say about Noah. Quick Passover. I just wanted to mention it because it came up yesterday. And I the ridiculousness of it hurt to the point that I needed to spew it here. It's kind of like yakking when you're sick. You got to just get
sure,
it out.
You just get it out. Once you get it out, you feel so much better.
And I thought, you know what? TMS is coming up. I can just go.
Good. All right. Glad I could help.
Well, you know, you do what you can do. But anyway, just if you're going to... It seems obvious, like I shouldn't have to explain it.
Right. I hear you.
Just read it. It's fine. I'd read, and you know what? Just for funsies, I reread the whole thing just to kind of get the whole story again. Man, that would have been the slowest 10-minute movie ever made. I mean, it really would have. Really? The only way to expand that thing out and to make it a as accurate a biblical interpretation is you would have to pad it with, I don't know what. I don't know what you'd do. First of all, that ship's only 300 cubits, by the way. You know how much a cubit is? It's John Stewart tells me. I hope John Stewart's right. Elbow to finger. So elbow to fingers is a cubit. 300 of those for every animal, foul beast, and creepy crawly.
It's like a foot and a half.
That doesn't work.
You
got to have some artistic license. You don't have a choice.
Yeah.
There's too little there to just make something there. You can maybe make a cute little kid's cartoon or a... What are those VeggieTales deals? You could do one of those.
A fractured fairy tale?
Yeah, one of those is fine. Exactly.
Yeah.
You know who I liked about those fractured fairy tales the most? Sorry to be all over the map here.
The music? Opening music?
That's
what I liked about it.
I liked the little janitor at the end.
That was sweeping up at the end after like the letters fall down or something.
Yeah, wasn't he great?
He was great.
Nothing wrong with that guy. All right. We're gonna call Daryl now. How about that?
Okay.
Hold on now.
Speaking of drunk face down in the sand.
Right. Let's cover his nakedness.
It is Thursday at work for him, so.
Let's cover his nakedness and then turn our heads forthwith or however it's said.
Oh, sure.
I like that they point that out. They did not look at their dad's unit, really, is what that came down
right,
to.
Right.
All right. Well, while we're calling Daryl, probably ought to play his freaking theme. Here you go. It's Stump a Trek Nerd, brought to you by...
A brand new documentary called For the Love of Their Brother, which we're raising funds through Indiegogo. Please head to tiny.cc/Siller, S-I-L-L-E-R, to donate or to help spread the word.
Sliller. I like
Sliller. Siller.
It's actually Siller, yeah.
There's a missing preposition in that sentence.
Oh.
A new documentary called For the Love of Their Brother, which we are raising funds through Indiegogo. There should be
four.
And you don't want to end it with four.
All right, that doesn't sound
for
good.
For which we are raising funds through Indiegogo.
There you go.
For which. There we go.
Good job, all class. Right. Tomorrow we'll be looking at punctuation. Daryl?
Hopefully that makes up for the it's debacle.
Yeah, right? Oh my gosh. And I took some heat on Twitter for that. For being so dumb about it. I just, whatever. There's these little pieces of things that you just never quite got your head around your whole life. Everyone's got them. Admit it, everybody. You've got one. Whatever it may be. It may not be, you know, punctuation or spelling or grammar or something else, but something.
Now, how come they took you to test, but they didn't take me to test? Because I misled you.
I know. You were the one that was kind of wrongest. There was a lot of wrong going on.
If we're comparing, you know, if we're competing on this.
On the chart, on the scale of right to wrong, we were both in there somewhere. Daryl, you there?
I am.
Fantastic. It's the Grumpy... Oh, I almost said Geek, but that's not the name of your show.
No, it should be, but it's not.
Daryl and I had a conversation about how he names his shows and never likes the names when he's done. And yeah. I think that that's great because it goes to the grumpy nature of the cast itself. I think it's fine. It adds to the mystique of the grumpy man. And by the way, the last three vines you put on Vine are the weirdest things I've ever seen. So keep that up. It's very
those
nice.
Those were weird mad experiments.
Yeah, it was all very, very strange. Daryl's the Trek nerd, comes on the show, does Star Trek trivia questions. Today we're going to do one, and it is a documentary kind of related thing. No, it's not. It's the Next Generation. I read the thing above it. It's the Next Generation thing. You might be familiar with it. It's got your Riker, your Picard, and all that. And here it goes. Here's how it goes. In the Next Generation episode Timescape, a shuttle is returning to the Enterprise after going to a conference on the psychological effects of long-term sleep. Deep space assignments. I'm really tired, and the word sleep literally looked like it was written there. Wow.
Awesome.
That was weird. Which crew member did not go to this conference? So long-term deep space assignments, that's the study, and somebody didn't go. The question is who, and the answers possible are A, Data, B, Captain Gene Luck Pickard, C, Deanna Troi, or D, Commander, I walk through doors sideways, Riker. It's not really sideways, more like crooked, but whatever. Those guys, by the way, all today, not today, or I think tomorrow or Saturday, the entire bridge crew minus Wesley. I'm trying to remember who else is not there. They're all here at this Salt Lake Comic Con of Fan X weekend. Yeah.
Wow.
And Nathan Fillion and William Shatner on stage at the same time. So,
oh, that's cool.
I don't know what that's about, but that's happening. Yeah, it's all that's kicks off today. Kids, by the way, if you're local and if you have kids under 17, I think it is, or 18 maybe, get in for $15 for a whole day. So that's how they fill the Thursday slots. It's a pretty good deal. Anyway, there you go, Daryl. Data, Captain Picard, Deanna Troi, Commander Riker. What?
Did we already ask if there were birthdays?
No, we're going to still do that.
Okay.
Yeah, I was just reiterating.
Oh, did we? Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah, and we haven't.
The dogs upstairs are going ape shit. Can you hold on one second?
Yeah, go ahead. I can totally hold on. It's just.
Well, I mean, don't hold on.
It's just a live show. We'll just hang on a second. No, it's totally fine. Daryl, while he's doing that, I had a question that's been under my skin for a while. Everybody asks this question. It's the age-old question, and usually it's Picard or Kirk, right? That's usually the who's the best captain question. I can't believe in the amount of time we've done all of these episodes and all these times you've been on here for this trivia crap, I have never asked you your favorite captain. And it doesn't have to be, you know, reduced to them. You can throw, you know, Sisko and Archer and everybody else in there. But you've never said on the show who your favorite captain is.
I will say Kirk, just because he's the original.
And is that the main reason? Like, is there any other, like, if you put the two guys together... Who are you going to trust more? Is it purely based on, well, he's the first incarnation, and so...
Well, it probably is, just because I know him from the beginning, and so he's the best. Like when you're born to your mother, you pick your mother, so Kirk is my mother.
All right, so then...
As far as captains go.
Crystalline entity contacts the ship. You got both captains... In the ship, okay?
What the heck?
You got Picard and Riker. Or not Riker. Picard and Kirk.
Mm-hmm.
That was telling what I just did there. And the crystalline entity calls. You answer. He's going to destroy the ship. Everything's going bad. Who do you trust the most to take care of the problem? Who fixes it? Kirk or Picard? Who do you have the most trust in?
I think Kirk would just talk it to death and it would blow up. And that would be the end of it.
If it was female, he'd make out with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. He'd kiss on it. All right. Well, fair enough. I just can't believe we've never asked that age-old question to you the whole time we've done this. Like, that is crazy.
I don't even have a good reason for it being Kirk.
Just because he's first.
Yeah.
That's an all right reason. It's okay.
Mm-hmm. Picard's great, too. I like them both for different reasons.
Yeah. I still don't know where I stand. I kind of flip-flop here and there. But I do know it's between them. Janeway's great. Everyone's fine, but those two are the ones.
How was the dogs, Brian? Everything fine?
Yes. It was Tristan and a bunch of his friends. Hey, can we have a few bucks to go get cones at McDonald's?
Wow.
It's like 8:30.
Yeah.
He should be at school.
Yeah.
I don't know what the heck.
Should be.
And he and his buddies are coming here mooching for money for ice cream at 8:30 in the morning.
He should totally be at school.
Michael Phelps wouldn't do this.
No, he wouldn't do it.
No,
he would
not. Not even on a bad day. Not even on an 8 day.
On a scale from terrible to Michael Phelps.
Yeah.
Listen though, this is the second time he's like not at school when he should be at school. What is going on?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I think it's time for me to monitor this child's activity.
Intervention. All right. So what are we doing now? Oh, we don't have food. So forget that.
You still haven't gotten your box of. Okay.
Depressed about that.
Daryl and I have.
I know. Ours. How is it that I don't understand? And I've been
with
watching.
With our phaser food.
Yeah.
That box over there is an old box. Yeah, I don't have it yet. So I don't know what's
this
going
one.
On.
You'll know this one when you receive it. It's really pretty. At least Daryl's and mine were really pretty.
And it's got all that crazy writing on it from that far off.
It was like a photographic montage box.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, fancy you for having it. I guess I'll have to wait another couple of days. We'll see how it goes. Let's do birthdays then. Let's just skip right ahead.
Okay. That would be Peter Slutsker.
Whoa.
And yes, he did change his name. He paid $50 and changed it to Marx.
Did he really? Good.
Yes.
Marx Slutsker?
No. Well, that's even better.
Yeah.
Peter Marx. But okay. Anyway.
All right. That's He's good. 50... That's good. He should have done that. That's a terrible name.
Yeah, he's 56 today. He played three different Ferengis on TNG and a Krenim commandant in Voyager's episode Year of Hell.
Wow. All right. Don't remember
any of that. Did he ever do any Ferengi work on Deep Space Nine? My God, some of the Ferengi episodes.
They're pretty bad.
I'm trying to figure out what they equate to on Next Generation. You know, like there was the really silly... The one I just watched was Quark going home and his mom is dating the Negus and
oh yeah and that and the, and it's funny because the Negus and the mom are both like famous actors. The Negus is inconceivable.
Wallace Shawn, yeah.
And then the
who's the mom?
She's Lotka's girlfriend on
Taxi. Carol Kane.
Carol Kane. Yeah.
Holy cow! I did not even catch that.
Yeah, it's like a lot of cool crossover stuff with Ferengis in terms of actors and things, but the storylines were always just so annoying.
Oh.
Quark's always good, though. You got to admit, even in the midst of all that, Amir Shmimmerman, or whatever his name is, does a hell of a job.
Amir Shmimmerman. Yeah, he's really good. Well, no, I know there were Ferengi on TNG, but the Ferengi stories on TNG weren't, it wasn't like they had one character who was really just there. When they had their own show, it was just comic relief.
Mm-hmm. It's a very Ferengi
like the
episode.
Alexander, Worf's son Alexander kind of thing.
Yes, there you go. You know what? Nope. I got it.
All right, tell me.
It's Lakshwana Troy.
Yes.
And maybe Alexander thrown in. They were often together. Those are right. That's your equivalent on Next Gen.
Yes. Anytime Lakshwana shows up,
freaking hated her out there.
Or a holodeck Data holodeck episode.
I don't think I ever enjoyed those. Except there's one with a dude from MASH played Winchester. Can't think of his name. Mm-hmm. David Ogden Steers.
Steers, yeah.
He was on, and it was that one where everyone dies at 54, regardless of whatever.
Oh,
you just go kill yourself.
Yeah.
And she didn't want him to do it. That was actually pretty good. There's some good drama there.
Good. Yeah.
But the rest of it, when like she's in the hot tub or the mud pack thing or talking to her daughter all the time about all this BS, that sucked.
Yeah.
But she did have Lurch for a Lurch for a servant, which is pretty good. All right, so Daryl, back to the thing here. What do you think? Data, Captain Picard, Deanna Troi, Commander Riker, one of these people did not go to this dumb conference, to this webinar in space.
Oh, let's see. I haven't watched this one very much. Oh, I think it's got to be sixth or seventh season.
Mm. Timescape? I don't know.
Yeah. Isn't that a movie, too?
But
it's not a Trek movie. It's some other thing.
Timescape? There's Dreamscape.
Timescape.
And then Timeline. Maybe you've got Timeline and Dreamscape mixed up, which would be a
movies that
bad movie.
Have each of those words in it, but I can't think of a movie season. Called Timescape.
Timescape season...
Oh, there's a 2012... Yeah, there is a movie that just came out a couple of years ago. It looks like it's just a documentary. Well, not even really a documentary, just kind of like a what do they call that when they set up a camera and just let it film and then they speed up the film like a
right.
Yeah.
What's that? That's silent film, 1930s.
Yeah, no, 1930.
Everyone time loves Daryl's Thong.
So like it looks like it's a time lapse movie.
I just said everyone loves Daryl's Thong. What is wrong with me? I meant song. So I just put in the chat, and I'm putting it in Skype. Oops. This is a screenshot from that episode that's pretty funny, where it looks like what's her name? I can't think of her name. Crusher's getting shot with a phaser beam.
Yeah, look where the direction of the phaser is coming out of that gun.
Yeah, it's like bad. It's bad.
He's kind of pointed squarely at her chest, but it's shooting her stomach.
Yeah, yeah, that's real stupid. Anyway, there's that, but it's a 151st episode. This is sixth season, so you were right on the money. Nicely done. Yeah. By then, Troy was wearing straight-up regular uniforms. She was just a regular crew member then. No more camel toe or short skirts.
That's why I can't remember this one.
Yeah.
Oh, let's see. Data, Picard, Troy, Riker. I think you accidentally gave me a clue. So I'm going to follow this, even though it might be wrong.
I did give you a clue. I'm such a dumbass. I showed somebody who's there and therefore went to the thing.
You can isolate one of them.
Yeah, just one.
One of them.
Well, no, it's not that. It's something else. I'm going to say Riker.
You're going to say Riker? All right. I think I
because of
this.
Your clue, I might be following the wrong lead here. All right, that's fine. What I'm going to do.
It was the butler in the kitchen with the knife. All right, well, let's find out if I screwed that up royally or if Daryl's wrong. Judges.
Congratulations!
Boo.
You're a winner!
What? He won, that's what. He got it. Riker is not at the conference. Picard, Geordi, Deanna, and Data all attend. Are they all in that picture?
No, huh?
Oh, it's just the two ladies. All right. On their way back, they discuss the conference. Deanna notices that that time seems to start, stop, and slow down. Here is a clip of Picard discussing part of the conference. Here you go, right here.
Well, it was little better at the physiognomy workshop. Dr. Fassbinder gave an hour-long dissertation on the ionization.
Did he just say Fassbinder?
Yeah.
It's really close to Fassbender, and that weirds me out just because of the combination of things.
Just that whole delivery is very this. Line took me 11 tries to finally get right.
Fassbinder.
Effect of warp nacelles before he realized that the topic was supposed to be psychology.
Why didn't anybody tell him?
There was no opportunity. There was no pause. He just kept talking in one long, incredibly unbroken sentence, moving from topic to topic so that no one had a chance to interrupt. It was really quite hypnotic.
Oh, Lord.
Well, now I know where that little bit comes from in that song.
Yeah. The Captain Jean-Luc Picard of the USS Enterprise.
Exactly.
All right, good. Well, there you have it, Daryl. Good job. But can you tell me how you got the hint, though? If it wasn't that they weren't in the picture, how'd you get the hint?
Oh, let's see. You said something like, now I don't remember. I'd have to go back and listen again. But something like, that'll give you, or what did you say? That's a little hint or something like that.
All right.
Well, maybe I don't remember what you said.
I don't either, but I'm impressed because I still don't know how you figured that out.
Oh, you said Riker. That's a little telling. And then you went on and said,
and that wasn't even, that's before I knew the answer. That's funny. Cause I was just saying that Riker and Kirk are a lot like each other. That's all I meant.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's all I was saying is like, hey, that tells you a little something about why I got Kirk and Riker confused and said Riker instead.
See, I interpreted it also as a clue to the question. How funny.
Yeah. This just shows how complicated life is. Everyone. Daryl's the Trek nerd. What? Oh, it is.
Or simple.
Or simple. It's so complicated, it's simple again. Daryl
wrapped all the way back around to simple.
Daryl's the Trek nerd. He's on also this grumpy show, this grumpy podcast called The Grumpy Cast.
Grumpy Cast.
Cast about grumpy dudes, him and Chamberlain hanging out, doing their thing.
You should have Dvorak on there, too.
You should. That's Cranky Geeks.
Oh, yeah, he's cranky.
Actually, right. It's a good thing you didn't do Grumpy Geeks, because that would have been real close to that, and we'd have gotten some hell for it. Yeah, mm-hmm. So think about it that way. It's fine. Mm-hmm. You could have called it
Adele Dazeem.
But that may not have worked out either.
The Adele Dazeem Show.
I'd listen to that. I totally would.
I totally would too. So sign me up.
The Trek Nerd on Twitter. So go check him out there. This Week in Trek at thisweekintrek.com and all things everywhere. All right, Daryl, let's play a game called What the Hell Are You Gonna Do? What are you doing?
Okay. Well, you guys were too good at this Pokemon thing, so I'm changing it.
Okay.
Is this a Star Trek food or an actual soup?
Here's your theme.
For by taking him alive, we can learn from him the workings of his entire organization of crime.
All right.
Wow.
I don't know what that was, but sure.
Okay. Gomguk.
Gomguk. Oh, Jesus.
That sounds like a Klingon soup or Klingon food, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I found her in 10 forward eating a bowl of
gomguk. I hate gomguk.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Klingon food. Soup or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay.
What say you?
Or Star Trek. We'll just generalize it to Star Trek.
Yep. Well, it is a Korean ox soup.
Wow. See, we get off the Pokemon and all of a sudden we suck.
Yes.
Yeah. Korean ox soup. Did I hear that right?
Yeah, that's right.
I should talk to my brother about that. See if he's ever had gomguk. He'll probably just make fun of me. That's what my brother does. All right. I can't find
that's what the Ewoks sing about at the end of Return of the Jedi.
Gomguk. They don't anymore. They used to.
No, that's right. Yes.
Took it out.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
It's the news.
And it's brought to you by Film Sack, the podcast for movie lovers and haters. Coming up this weekend, Nothing But Trouble. Speaking of movie haters, subscribe at filmsack.com.
Oh, we're taking a bullet, guys.
You know what? It can't be any worse than the Ferengi episode I just watched.
Okay. Deep Space Nine. I like how you look at things.
Same makeup, probably. Like, they just reuse those noses for Dan Aykroyd.
It's a good positive outlook you've got.
And, you know, you can just look at how cute Demi Moore used to be.
Mm-hmm. She's all right. And how not gray Chevy Chase's hair was, and how not dead Captain John Candy was. And I don't know. It's got probably something in there I can appreciate now, but it's the second movie in my entire life I walked out of. So
wow. Oh, I can't wait. How long ago did you walk? Like, when?
Theater.
When did you see it?
In theater back in 90, whatever
so
it was.
So when it came out.
Yeah. It was bad. So bad. Nice. All right, here you go.
All right.
Man learns that licking a cop's eyeball is a felony.
Wow.
Yeah, this is a felony.
How do you do that?
I know. How do you? Is a question we'll ask.
I mean, my God, my eye would close the minute somebody's face would get anywhere near it.
I won't let anyone lick my eye. My favorite person in the world, Kim, can't lick my eye. It's not allowed.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, maybe not illegal, but not allowed. The Billings Gazette, yeah. This is in Billings, Montana, reports that Christopher Nicholas Hyatt, age 34, was arrested outside of Pisser's Palace Bar. I'm not making that up. P-I-S-S-E-R.
No, they can name a bar anything, yep. In Billings, Montana.
Pisser's Palace Bar in Walkerville, Montana.
Oh, in Walkerville. There you go.
On a it's probably some suburb or something.
Billings wouldn't allow a name like Pisser's Palace,
no.
But Walkerville? Sure.
Yeah. Tinkler's Palace in Billings. He allegedly struggled with officers as they attempted to get him into the car, and that's when things got all wet. Hyatt's accused of licking one of the cops' eyeballs in the fracas.
Maybe the cop's name was Chip.
I'm Officer Chip Stevens. Fracas, that means the kick up, the dust up, right? The fight. I like that that's also a word you could lick. He licked one of the cops in the fracas. let's see. This earned him a felony charge of assault on an officer. The Smoking Gun reports that Hyatt is in jail on $45,000 U.S. bond. That's U.S. dollars, rather. Mm-hmm. Just so you know, even if it's not an officer's eye, you should get your tongue on. Eye licking is always a bad idea. For the guy getting licked more than the guy licking, though. You know? Like, you can...
Yeah.
I'm less worried about... If I'm the licker, big deal. I mean, it's still pretty gross, but big deal. If you're the licked, though, you're getting that dude's freaking bacteria tongue all up in your eye hole. That's awful.
Oh, it's horrible. Yeah, I mean, there's...
You're going to get pink eye from that.
Right.
I would.
Do you think the guy was going for the eye, you think? Like,
yeah.
I'm going to lick that cop's eye.
I think if that guy got... I bet the cop got real close. If I've learned anything from multiple cop viewings over... Cops episode viewings over 20 years, it's that when a cop gets right down in your face, sometimes those guys will do unexpected things like try to headbutt you or bite you or stuff like that. So I'll bet you...
at least at the point where the cop got down, like was holding him down, struggling with the guy, and if he was face to face with him, that guy made a decision and said, I'm now going to lick that dude's eyeball. I'll bet you he did. Gross. Boston Strong, weirdo. Sent for mental check after rice cooker-filled backpack sparks concern. So this dude, this is so weird. A bipolar performance artist. Really? Whatever.
That means he does his performances both at the North Pole and at the South Pole.
Yeah, it just depends on the season. A bipolar performance artist was sent for a menstrual. Jeez, Scott. Menstrual evaluation.
It's like Ice Worm is channeling you or something. Like
so bad. He was sent for mental evaluation Wednesday after his arrest for toting a rice cooker to the Boston Marathon finish line 1 year after the bombing. Remember that whole deal?
Yes. What an idiot.
What a complete ding-dong. The erratic Kevin Edson, age 25, of Boston, or Baston if you live there, was busted Tuesday evening when he was walking, screaming down Boylston Avenue, carrying a backpack containing the cookware. This according to Boston police. Eyewitnesses said he was shouting, "Boston Strong," before his arrest on the anniversary of the terror attack. The suspect was ordered held on $100,000 by Boston Municipal Court Judge Michael Coyne at a hearing before he was dispatched to Bridgewater State Hospital for assessment of his mental state. Man, if I was there and I saw this guy doing this, even if I thought I was going to get blown up in the process, tackle that dude, beat him senseless.
Yes.
I think that's where my guts would have been. What an ass.
Right, exactly.
Performance artist.
Insensitive. All right, and this is some great performance art.
Yeah, good job.
I'm doing it to raise awareness for rice cookers.
That's right. Who will think of them? They didn't do it. It's not their fault.
Who will think of Breville?
We have a Breville. I love the Breville. I made rice yesterday. I ate so much rice. I'm all rice now. I'm mostly rice.
All rice now.
I'm mostly rice at this point. I eat so much of it. All right, here's the big. This thing's gonna eat you alive. But I gotta play a little thing for it. But it's just gonna kill you. So here you go.
Chairman J. Parnell Thomas of New Jersey opens an inquiry into possible communist penetration of the Hollywood film industry.
It's Celebrity Poop, brought to you by
Game Child Studios. Has released their first mobile game. Astro is a quick pickup little arcade game for iPhone, iPod Touch, and Android devices. Download it for free at GameChildStudios.com.
Sounds good. All right.
By the way, April just tweeted the dude in Boston, of course, because she is from that area.
She sure is.
She says, "You have no idea how furious everyone here is about this guy. And staining the name of art, not cool. Punch him."
Yeah, and she's the nicest person ever.
Yes.
Like, I don't know her to be wanting to hurt a flea.
You've got to cross a line when Viking Lass wants to punch you.
Yeah, he's crossed it. I would have been so freaking pissed. What a douche. It's like, and I don't care. Like, I am all about free expression and artistic license and all that stuff. I'm into that. This is just, you know what? Just boil it down. Take all the emotion out of it. Take even the terror attack out of it. And this just boils down to lazy. It's lazy art. It's not art. It's just him doing a lazy, it's a freaking prank is what it is. Mm-hmm. You can call it art and you hide behind that all you want, but that's not what this is. Anus cheese. All right. Speaking of anus cheese, check this out. Okay. Rapper Andre Johnson, no relation.
Oh, okay. Darn, I was going to ask.
Severs his penis and then jumps off a building and then survived. Rapper Andre Johnson severed his penis, jumped off an LA apartment building early Wednesday. This is yesterday. It's according to police.
I would have been more impressed if he would have severed it on the way down.
Oh, wow. That would have been a feat, wouldn't it? Mm-hmm. Johnson was seriously injured, but survived the fall from the second level of the building in North Hollywood, Los Angeles. Johnson, along with his recovered penis, was taken to Cedars-Sinai Medical Center where he was being treated, man said. Hey, that's the hospital of the stars, isn't it?
It is, yes. Everybody goes to Cedars-Sinai when you're famous.
That's right. Details of what triggered the accident were not available. Johnson has been a member of North Star, a Long Beach, California hip-hop group that was part of the Wu-Tang Clan family. According to the Wu-Tang Clan website, he performs under the name Christ Bearer. All right. That's a I want to get back to, you know, the
bear?
Rap. The
rap, bear or bearer?
Bearer. Bearer, like carrier or keeper or whatever.
That's a How I Met Your Mother joke.
Oh, got it.
Ring bearer or ring bear?
I hate that show. So, I know, I just don't like it. I can't help it.
Well, you don't have it to kick around anymore, Scott Johnson.
I know. I like everyone in it. They're fine. I like what's her name on the Avengers and the
mm-hmm. Kobe Smulders.
Yeah, she's great.
Mm-hmm. She is.
She's a little slight for how tough she is, though.
Well, Maria Hill.
Yeah, I think I could beat her up. Anyway.
Good luck with that.
That's terrible. What was I going to say here? Oh, I like the old days of rap names. I think we need to get back to like Sir Mix-a-Lot
and
yeah, just goofy names. Just goofy, like who's
Marky Mark?
Yeah, Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch, right?
When every third rapper had the word ice in his name. Yeah, I'm with you.
Ice Cube, Ice Tea,
Vanilla Ice.
Vanilla Ice, yes. They're even better. Like
glass of water, no ice.
Run DMC. A guy's name is Run, for heaven's sakes. It's so cool. Like, you know, Beatmaster Flay or somebody has a name like that, don't they? Beatmaster Flay? Why is that coming in my head?
Beatmaster Flay.
Isn't that, if I got him, I may have some people.
I think you're mixing a celebrity chef and a hip hopper.
Oh, the Flayed Man. All right. Man, what is going on? Can I just say something about Game of Thrones?
Sure.
What is going on with the people over at the Dreadfort? Goodness, that place is terrible.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody there is it? I'm starting to feel like, I mean, I'm. That's about where I am on the books. That where they're at in the show is where I'm caught up to.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And it occurs to me, it's starting to occur to me that it's almost like it's what's it like? It's almost like Warriors, the Warriors movie, where every other island or landmass is a different kind of gang, like a theme mm-hmm. gang.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like there's the yeah. baseball player gang and then there's the whatever. This thing's got kind of that vibe going on.
Yeah.
Where
dude
one
from, dude you know, from Misfits, man. Holy cow.
Yeah. So the sea people or the ones by the sea, the salty whatever people.
The Boltons?
Not
or
the Boltons, the other ones. The one where Greyjoy
the
came from.
Okay, yeah.
Those guys. Right. They're just like these salty pirate men, right?
Oh, yes. I know who you're talking about, yeah.
And then this guy's at the Dreadfort with the Boltons. They're basically like torture town, you know? Like at the town mm-hmm. of torture, everything's got spikes on it, and everyone's kind of a psycho, and everyone's got like a slave with no wiener, right? Like it's yeah. just, it, I don't know, it's funny that it's starting to shape up like that. The wildlings are all like these wild people from the hills and everyone's got like a theme. And I, not that I don't like it, but it's just occurring to me that maybe is the whole vibe of that show is everything's a theme planet. Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's seems like such different areas, such different houses to be so close together, but be so different.
Yep.
Yeah.
This is the
makes me realize, by the way, I'm going to use my 3D printer to make a map of Westeros, just like in the opening credits. That's perfect use of my 3D printer.
That's a great idea.
Wouldn't that be awesome? Even if I just made like a little Winterfell or something.
Can you cover around it with a camera going?
Of course I can. Sure.
Oh, that's great.
I'll even do that noise.
Okay. Cool. Can you have a cool sun with a bunch of rings around it?
Of course.
All right. That sounds good.
Done.
I love it. I never get tired of that intro, ever. Always want to see it. Never get tired. Yeah.
No, exactly. There are other shows we fast forward through the opening.
Not that one.
We never do.
No,
never.
It's too good.
Plus, it also gives you kind of a clue as to what you're going to be seeing.
It's like, we're in the Dreadfort today, are we?
Exactly. We're going to see Bolton. We're going to see Misfit Kid. We're going to...
Well, they're spending some time in Dragon's Weenus or whatever it's called. What's that called? Dragon's Spire? Dragon's Point. Dragon, whatever it is, or Landis, where Stannis lives. Dragon's poker. I can't think today.
That's all right.
To finish this article up, his recordings include When the Guns Come Out, which will now be retitled to When the Gun Comes Out. Get it? When the Gun Comes Out. Get it?
Oh, gotcha.
It's just a gun. Get it?
It's a part.
which was included on the soundtrack of the 2004 Blade movie Blade Trinity, which will now be renamed Blade to my wiener, according to the Internet Movie Database. So he is not doing well. And then update. Beep, 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 beep. Today, mm-hmm. doctors mm-hmm. cannot salvage the unit. They cannot salvage the penis. Nope. that he survived. So whatever.
Anyone concerned about him being able to reproduce? I don't think I am.
Not
I'm
so
all right
much.
With that.
I hope he feels better, but I don't want him to make babies.
Yeah.
I mean, now he's probably have to have like a catheter his whole life or something. That's kind of awful. Because we also pee from there.
Ugh, that would make me jump off a building.
Right? I know. Paul Walker. Remember him? Passed away. Yeah. Unexpectedly terrible car crash. Awful deal. They were still making these Fast and Furious movies. Fast and Furious 7 is going to resume production. He was already in it for parts of it. They're going to do like Natalie Wood with that Christopher Walken movie. Mindscape. Brain.
I know. Now I can only think Dreamscape, Mindscape.
Brain Melter. Dream. Brain Freeze. I don't know.
Brain Dream.
Brain Dream is good.
Brain Dream.
I want to make a movie called Brain Dream. Fast and Furious 7 will resume production with Paul Walker's brothers Cody and Caleb, who have agreed to fill in for the late actor in order to complete scenes of the upcoming film, according to a statement released by the film's Facebook page. The Fast and Furious actor's death in a car crash on November 30th in Santa Clarita, California, came during a break in the shooting, and so he had already done a bunch of stuff, and this is all halted production, at least for temporary reasons. The Fast and Furious saga is about family, Universal Studios said in a statement. I thought it was about fast cars and explosions, but I
thought it was about things that were fast and also possibly furious.
Possibly furious. The characters are connected by the bond of family, and it is how all of us have worked together for more than 13 years feel about each other. It certainly defines how we feel about our fans. The studio added that the production of the film has resumed along with the two brothers. We are just underway here for the release, blah, 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 and this film is the most important we've ever done together, the studio concluded. It will allow the character of Brian O'Connor to live on and let us celebrate Paul in his most defining role. All right. Whatever. It's fine. A lot of people think they should have just scrapped it, but that's not how Hollywood works. You got to make money. You got to keep doing your thing. You already spent millions. Mm-hmm. You got to keep going. I don't necessarily blame them.
Yeah.
Tweaked
no,
audio.
A good franchise.
Yeah, it is, right? I mean, it's venerable. I've only seen one, two, and part of Tokyo Drift. Drift. Have you seen them all?
I've seen one.
Just the first one?
But I know they're wildly popular.
Yeah. Actually, it seems like a thing I'd want to see, though. Like, I like dumb action. So, I don't know why I haven't seen more of them. Maybe I'll celebrate this weekend by watching a couple of them. I'll report back.
Yeah, please do. Let me know.
All right. It's Tweaked Audio. They're sponsoring the show. They've got some amazing styles and colors to choose from. What are these? Well, they're earbuds. Where do you put them? You put them in your ear. You plug the other end into your device. Maybe that's an iPhone or an Android device or I don't know. Maybe it's one of those new Google Fire or Amazon Fire deals. I don't know. Something. Plug it in. Listen to them. Have a great audio experience. Do it today for less money, though. Stream at checkout. 33% off. That code's still in effect, yo. 33% off with the code STREAM. Let's take a break. When we come back, Wendy will be here. And we're all very excited about it. Brian, cool. Do you have music for us?
You know, and people in the tadpole, by the way, are suggesting that we maybe do a Fast and Furious for Film Sack.
Yeah, why not? I want to. I call Tokyo Drift. I think that's
five. Fast Five is what people are saying is a good
really
Film Sack movie.
I hear that one's good though, like good, good.
Well, yeah, you know what? Jester says you should see Five. Five was good fun. Edward Jezik says Fast Five was almost a Film Sack movie.
Why not Tokyo Drift, you guys? That's the weird offshoot. Don't we like weird offshoots?
That's sure.
That's fun. We'll do that.
All right. Anyway, so how about a song? That's what you're going for, right? That's what you're asking for?
Yeah, music, you know.
Your demand.
Well, humans have a weird thing where they like the sound of music. It's a strange phenomenon, and it's been here for years, so I think we ought to celebrate by playing one.
Fair enough. Okay. This one's going out to Allison Grant. I stalled long enough for me to pull up the email that I needed.
Perfect.
Allison Grant says, I would like to request a song for my husband, Jamie, whose birthday is on April 17th. A few years back, Jamie got me hooked on the instance, and I'm happy to say I returned the favor and got him hooked on TMS this year. Oh. One more tadpole. In the Tadpool.
I would like
to request a cover of either Queen's You're My Best Friend or Our House by Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young. Thanks for the great content. Love the snow globe. Allison Grant. So, yes, I'm going for the former, or I'm sorry, for the latter of the two requests, just because I've only got a couple covers of Queen's You're My Best Friend. I think I've played one or both of them on...
We have done it here.
on TMS. Yeah, mm-hmm. But I don't think I've played a cover of Our House by Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young.
I'm not sure we've ever had Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young covers at all on the show, so this is great.
Which is a shame because I love me some Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young music.
I agree.
This is a band called Letty, and this came out on an album called Lifting the Covers 2012. Came out a couple of years ago, and what's funny about this album is it actually came with two different covers of Our House. Like, there's no other theme. There's no theme to this album. Like, it's not all Crosby, Stills, and Nash covers. It was just people doing covers, and they just happened to end up with two covers of Our House. And one of them wasn't even the Madness version or the Madness song, right?
Yeah.
So.
I think you're right.
Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young's Our House covered right here by Letty, going out from from Allison to her husband, Jamie.
Real quick, favorite Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young song, go.
Sweet Judy Blue Eyes.
For me, it's Southern Cross.
Oh, that's a good one.
It's a special song for me. I don't even know why. There's something about it. Something about it. Don't know what it is. Always gets me. All right, here you go. It's Our House. We'll be back in a minute with Wendy. Stay tuned.
Light the fire, you put the flowers in the vase that you bore today. Staring at the fire for hours and hours while I listen to you play your love songs all night long for me, only for just 5 minutes, everything is gone. Such a cozy room, the windows are illuminated by the evening sunshine.
Always be mornings like this. Dad gets up feeling grumpy because he needs a laxative. He growls at the baby, trips over the dog, and handles his razor like an axe. What to do? Here's good advice.
Hey, pal, take Sal, Sal Hepatica. It's speedy as 1, 2, 3, and gentle as it can be. Hey, pal, that's Sal, Sal Hepatica.
Yes, Dad feels better fast. When he takes Sal Hepatica before breakfast, he gets relief usually within an hour. And it's so gentle. It's the only one of four well-known types of laxatives that is both speedy and gentle. It's antacid, too. Sweetens a sour stomach at the same time. Morning or evening, when you need a laxative, take this advice.
Hey, pal, take Sal, Sal Hepatica.
Take your clam and clean it off.
The Morning Stream. We just wanted more fish. They wouldn't give us any more fish.
And we're back.
Okay.
Man, that guy was grumpy without his laxative.
God, yeah, he was.
He was pissed. He's not happy. What do you do for a guy like that? There's nothing you can do.
Nothing you can do. No, nothing.
Okay, here we go. Hey, I noticed Cleo's in the chat today. That's nice.
Yeah.
How's she doing? You know she's got talent. It's good to see you, Cleo. I guess we'll have her on later. That'd be fun.
That'll be great.
Right? Are we doing that? I assume we are.
Of course.
That'd be lovely.
I hope. Yeah.
A good friend of the program, Garrett Weinzerl.
The angry chicken dude.
Yeah. Angry Chicken's Own. And the new Heroes of the Nexus, or Into the Nexus, the Heroes of the Storm podcast, says on Twitter, to both me, you, and the show, the Fast and the Furious films are really fun movies, all of them, especially when The Rock joins. And The Rock joined, I want to say, 6, or was it 5? I don't know. But I'm all about maximizing our film sackery, so whatever one fits the most, we're in. We'll do whatever you want. Maybe we'll let the people decide. I don't know.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea. Do a straw poll.
Sure. Those exist. That's a thing.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we're going to call Wendy.
Okay.
How do you feel about that?
I love this idea. I love this. This is what validates our week, you know? This is the cred.
This is where
this
we
is
actually...
the cred portion.
This is where real work gets done.
That's right. Exactly.
She is not yet on Skype, so we'll give her a minute. I don't know if she thinks we're early. Well, we are a couple minutes, I guess, early.
We can talk really quickly about that song, by the way, Our House by Crosby, Stills, and Nash.
Yeah.
The story is that Graham Nash... when he moved in with Joni Mitchell, when those two were a couple, he wrote that song based on an actual event, like actually, you know, coming home, lighting fire in the fireplace and she's out in the back picking flowers in the yard. It's like, it's, you know, just a cute little scene of home life and serenity.
Of tranquility, really.
Of tranquility, exactly.
Coming from, you know, some of their songs were a little bit... past the doobie.
I was going to say political in nature.
Well, that too, yeah.
Yeah.
Southern Cross had some politics going on. You know why I like that song here? I'm going to tell people why. I'm going to explain with audio. Here you go. Hold on. Southern Cross, right? Yeah. Southern Cross. Okay. So here's that song. Whoops. Do I have it? Yeah, I do. So, all right. So here's the beginning of it. Mm-hmm. There's just something about this riff. This whole...
It's very comforting.
Now, it's just such a great song, but I'm going to say, before YouTube kills it, that it's the same reason I'm really into the cover you gave us yesterday, which featured this. Let me skip ahead a little. It all means something. I can see there's something getting so far. Here we go. There's something about that little bit that is a total earworm.
It's the major chords. It's all done with major chords. And,
I love it.
Yeah.
I'm a sucker for it. I think that that if you went and found my favorite songs, they would feature a lot of major chords.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I think I may have a problem. All right.
Well, it's the comfort zone. That's why, you know, the major chords are always happy and comfort, and then you throw in a minor chord and I'm sounding like Nigel Tufnel. Then you throw in a minor chord, it's like, oh, you know, and then it gets all sad.
That sounds about right. All right, we're going to call Wendy now. She's on. She's online.
Okay.
She just got home from a trip, so maybe a little pooped. I don't know. And last night, at some point in the evening, little white dots rising. It's happening. Reading more about this Timescape episode. It's not a good episode. Daryl's right about season 6. I don't think season 6 and 7 are very good.
No, except for all good things, but it was...
I mean, it's sad that you can only say that about one real episode in the final days of Star Trek. You know? I mean, I'm glad they went out on top like that, but it was a rough couple seasons. All right, Wendy, where are you at?
Yeah.
Pick up your damn phone. I'm a texter. Because, you know, she got kids, she has things, she has stuff going on.
Sure, there could have been something, right.
Exactly. I don't know how she even does it, to be honest. How she keeps her head above water. You there? Question mark? Send? All right. Let's find out. You know what? This is weird.
Yeah, what's going on?
My, phone on every text page of that I send, it says that there's a text message halfway sent, but they're all sent. But the little progress bar says halfway all the time.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I need to kill
like the little bar going across. Yeah.
Glitch.
By the way, while you're waiting for Wendy, go ahead and click Ironic Name's last link, most recent link on the tadpole.
Oh, no.
Yeah, you should be afraid.
What am I in for here? Okay, here we go.
Oh, jeez.
For those listening on the podcast, it's a beautiful woman walking down the down a pier.
Yeah.
And or a walkway on the beach, and Scott's head slowly
coming out, appears
out of her butt.
Yeah.
Yes.
What inspired this?
I have no idea. I can't think of what we were talking about. That
also, I'm a little worried about her. I seem to be coming out of her back too.
Yeah. Well, your head's kind of large. Wow.
It is kind of big, isn't it? I don't know if you saw the picture I put on Instagram of me when I was little, and I'm wearing a helmet playing t-ball. My head looks like Dark Helmet Man from
Spaceballs.
Yeah, from Spaceballs. It's really embarrassing.
Oh, Genie, I don't need to click on it. Those automatically appear in my tadpole feed. Like,
yeah.
I see if it ends with a .gif or a .jpeg, it automatically appears. So yes, I do see the next one, which has like a I can't tell what that is. Like a little pill going from one giant Ibit photobomb head into another.
If you look at the little thumbnails at the bottom of that page,
yeah,
it's almost worse because like there's that shot of me and Randy in the hot tub, and then he zooms in to see your little tiny head like a mole on my chest.
Yes,
that's frightening.
And they're all moving, all like, you know, all separate, like, and then there's a little MODOK spinning around and
what is happening with the oh, I didn't even know this was... Okay, all right. Nobody at home can tell what we're looking at. We apologize for how that's going. But, yeah, I don't know what's going on with Wendy. I can't get her... I can't ring her up. Here's what we'll do. While we wait for her, we'll skip ahead and do an email. Why not?
Okay.
And then we'll come back. So emails, one of them, is brought to you by...
Diary of a Cartoonist, where you get to see the personal side of Scott Johnson on iTunes or at frogpants.com/diary. You know, I can't listen to those either because they contain the word diary.
I know. That's diary. I know it's your rule.
My rule.
I don't blame you.
Yeah. Nope, or whisper.
So I did a big one yesterday about copyright infringement and about this dude stealing my art and then acting like it was nobody's fault or whatever. Mm-hmm. So we go into that a little bit. So people want to hear that?
Well, I'm going to break my rule for you and listen to that today.
Oh, lovely. Did you watch that episode of The Daily Show I told you about?
Oh, it's on my to-do list. There's no check in the checkbox. It's been a busy couple of days.
I understand.
That's a Friday thing.
Just make sure you catch it before they chuck it, before it gets out of the rotation.
Oh, right. Yeah, because they only keep like the last 2 weeks or something,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's really good.
Hello?
Okay. Hello?
Hello? Oh, hello?
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
Hello.
Hi. I'm good.
Hello.
Good. Hello? Hey, you got back last night. You're back?
Yeah.
Oh, good. How was the trip? Where'd you guys go?
Just for Therapy Thursday.
Yeah, of course.
Good.
Did you guys go somewhere fun? Where'd you go?
Went to Lake Tahoe. Has anyone ever been there?
Oh, wow. Tahoe.
People have been there, yeah.
Did y'all drive?
So beautiful. Yeah, we're dumb.
Hmm. Yeah, you're not dumb. You're just economical. And it's good. When we grew up, that's how we got around. Like, there were no flights for all of us when we do family trips to California and stuff. We would get in a car and we would drive 12 hours everywhere we went.
Yeah,
that's the way it went.
28.
Yeah, that's not too bad.
Yeah, my kids are pretty good at. Yeah, we don't. Literally, the last road trip we did, they had electronics in their hands for the first time, and it dawned on us like, oh my gosh, there's a reason.
Yeah, no, these are great babysitters, dude. Especially on trips.
Yeah, yeah, like hours can go by and it was silent. We were like, what have we been doing? You know, how many. Find a letter on the road games. Can you actually play before you want to kill everyone?
Yeah, give them iPads. You guys are the kind of hippie I like. I like that you do the things you do, but occasionally it makes sense to let a robot tend your kids. It's fine.
You're making them miss the scenery outside. That was the best part of road trips when I was a kid.
That's right.
Anyway. It's really true that there are. I mean, most of Nevada. Honestly, what is going on in Nevada?
Nothing. Nothing.
There are prisons.
You know it's got desert.
Yeah, there are a lot of prisons in Nevada.
Yeah, there's no hitchhiking prison signs everywhere. And then every once in a while, then something beautiful shows up. And Tahoe is probably one of the most beautiful places I've ever been. Mm. That was stunning.
That's great. Where did you guys stay somewhere nice or what'd you do?
We were right near Heavenly Ski Resort. We were going to ski, but there really is no snow left, so we didn't do that.
Not up
and
there.
We had all our snow gear. We were going to sled. I had snowshoes, and it was beautiful, and we could just hang out on the beach. It was so nice.
You guys are lucky. That sounds like a fantastic time. Well, here you are to be thrust right back into the world of people and their problems.
Yes.
So here we go. Let's get right into it. We got a question.
Playtime's over.
Yeah, playtime is over. Got a question here from a listener who will go by the name Anonymous, who wrote, "Dear Scott, Brian, and Wendy, and all the various significant others and kids, I'm hoping you can shed some light on something that has been happening over the past 6 to 8 months. It's frustrating because it's something that happens to everyone, but in some cases, it's just gone too far. I'm talking about being angry. Everyone gets angry. We all have bad days, get stuck in an annoying situation, end up being that guy or girl every once in a while, except now I am the lady married to the angry guy. It's been a time of huge changes in our lives. We had a kid, now 16 months old. He changed his job, meaning her husband, which was very stressful. And we're living away from our families, which is not new. I've been an expat for over 10 years and we're supposed to move back and now we're staying. Anyway, I know stress can really do a number on people's personalities and relationships, but this seems unsurmountable now. I have no idea how to reconnect. His anger pushes me away and it leaves me and the kid on our own and unwilling to go anywhere with him in case he flips his shit, is the word he used, and some random in the checkout line. I'm not sure what he means.
So like freak out at some stranger.
Yeah, just freaking out. Mm-hmm. I can't talk to him because he retreats into his office when he's at home and he has no time. He desperately wants to keep the relationship, but he seems willing to do anything but work on it and yells at me when I ask him to spend time with us. Where do I start? Other than therapy, I'm starting that next week and eventually hope to bring him along. Thank you very much for your help and all the fantastic work you all do. All right. So
I love that my advice every week is go to therapy. So now people have to write and say, okay, and besides therapy.
Yes, exactly. Give us one other answer.
Anything else.
Well, it's good to hear that she's going to do it. She's going to go start therapy and stuff. And the first glance on this thing, as often as the case, is that this sounds like a thing that is not exclusive to her and a kind of a common problem. We've talked about what money and work and stress do to relationships.
Our own Veronica Belmont was caught on tape yelling at somebody in some line recently, right?
She was all ticked. It was some video game, I think. But yeah, I mean, we are a society quick to anger now these days. I feel like more than maybe we were before, and the stresses of modern day life play into that. But where do you start with a couple and specifically with somebody who is the mother of a little baby who's trying to connect with a not just husband, but a father to that kid. And these are formative years and all that stuff.
Right. Well, we're going to do a couple things. I'm going to have you and Brian be guinea pigs for this a little bit, but let's start with just a couple questions I have for her that she might want to find the answers to or explore with her therapist. The good thing about her going to therapy with or without him is, you know, so often women come in like, and it really is a marital issue, but the guy's not willing to come in or whatever it might be. But for them to get some, so they start behaving better, right? Mm-hmm. They have to actually learn to own the stuff that is contributing that they may not realize they're doing.
Right.
And that's helpful. It's obviously not as helpful as if both could come in, but sometimes both coming in doesn't work right away because everything's so raw and loud and it takes longer. But, you know, one getting support and sort of good advice and time to process what they're going through can be really helpful so that they're not always, you know, holding it in, building it up. And then when there's an interaction where he's angry, she responds in a way that can be, you know, pretty counterproductive, but doesn't know it because it's his anger problem, not hers. And yet, you know, what role is she playing? So good work there. Secondly, what happened, you know, 6 to 8 months ago is when all the changes happened. She said the baby was what, 18 months?
16 months old now.
Months? Yeah. Okay. Yes. Having babies, very life altering, stressful, good and hard in the same, at the same time kind of thing. Right. So there's that. His job changed. Sure. There's lots of explanations for why there's this new anger thing. And so my question is for her, what is the, you know, what is his history with anger? I understand that people, you know, but it's not suddenly one day you have a lot of stress and now you're yelling at strangers in a line. You know, maybe there is, he just managed it better before or whatnot. If that's not the case, so if he has always kind of had an underlying anger thing where he's, you know, has to work on it, and now this is just so much stress and he can't contain it, that's important to know. If it is something else, so, you know, that is another story. So let's talk about what that is. So why do people get angry? I'm going to use you guys here.
Okay. Role play, well, Ryan. You're going to be the wife. You be the wife. Angry. I'll be the man. All right.
Yeah. Men, we need you to respond for all men in the universe.
Okay.
Why do you get angry?
Pressure. Yeah.
And what happens when you're angry? Kind of walk me through. I don't know if you have a scenario you can share. Mm. Kind of the last time you were angry or a time you can think about where you were sort of quintessentially furious.
Oh, gosh. I mean, does it have to be a thing where it affected the family, though?
No. Anytime. I want to go through the mechanisms of what anger feels like and is. And I'm going to ask you a couple questions so that people can kind of see how they can do this with themselves or with their loved ones who will say, shut up. I'll get my own therapist.
All right, Brian, you were going to say something there. Go.
Yeah, I mean, there was a frustration point last week with the boy, with Tristan. Mm-hmm. And you know, basically after dinner said, I've got so much homework to do. I got to go downstairs, goes downstairs. And I come down a couple hours later to find that he's been surfing YouTube and Tumblr and playing with his magic cards and doing whatever for the last couple hours when he has like an hour left before bedtime and needs to get his work done. Now I don't, it was more of a frustration thing. You know, it wasn't like an anger, losing my shit kind of thing, but it was like, are you kidding me? You tell us that you've got all this work to do and then you come down to procrastinate. And I know I'm probably seeing it in myself.
Sure.
Or am I jumping the gun?
You're totally quick to psychoanalyze yourself. Good work.
All right. No. Good job.
Okay. But help me understand. Of course that's frustrating.
Yeah.
Why? What is your, if you can kind of think back to that moment, what is the story in your head? And I'm guessing this one moment is not your first frustration with Tristan. I know nothing about you and Tristan, but I can ascertain from just what you said that probably not the first time you've been frustrated.
Yeah, no, I mean, he does have a tendency to procrastinate. I mean, he's a teenager, 17-year-old. I think that's not uncommon.
Abnormal, no.
Yeah.
Okay, so what's the story in your head, though?
Is that either he's going to be up late working on his homework to try and get caught up, or you know, he's been having some problems with grades in a couple of his classes, and so this is going to push him even further down the hole that we're trying to get him out of.
Okay, so then that's your surface story, right? The story that is immediate, like
the first thing I think of when that happens.
Yeah,
correct.
Like what are you doing? Mm-hmm. Bah,
yep.
Right? Okay. So then go one level deeper. What's the, sorry, Brian, you're totally.
No, that's all right.
Go one level deeper. What is the other story?
Oh, it's, you know, and this, I kind of touched on this a minute ago, but it's an absolute trait that I see in myself that I don't want him to fall into, is that I also tend to procrastinate with things, and I'll have a list of something that I need to do. I keep looking at my to-do list and this daily show that I have to watch that Scott told me to watch.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for him to laugh, but he's,
he's
busy thinking about something.
You'll watch.
You will do it.
I'll watch. But but I mean, you know, a procrastination that I see in myself that I don't want him to develop those habits because I know how hard it is to break those habits.
Okay. And?
And the chicken was a baby.
It's an old MASH joke. Come on, Wendy. We watch MASH all the time growing up.
I know, but I don't remember.
You don't remember the chicken was a baby?
No.
Oh, it's like the very last episode
moment.
Of MASH.
Yeah, it's like the most important moment of MASH.
It's when Alan Alda realizes that he's been that he's angry at himself for telling a woman to silence her
chicken, but it was a baby.
It was a baby.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that?
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that was like a sad, terrible thing. I wouldn't joke about it, you see.
Hey, enough times passed and it was a fake baby.
It was on a comedy.
It was on a
comedy from the 1980s.
That's right.
I didn't realize now what you're talking about. Okay. All right. So your original, your initial surface story is that, holy crap, he's going to be behind. His grades are bad.
Right.
Anyway, he's frustrating him, yada, yada. Then the other story is I don't want him to have my bad habits because that's a nightmare. Okay. Is there one story lower?
Probably, you know, if anything, it's probably the thing that connects the two is that remembering that I had problems in school myself with grades, and not because I didn't know the work. It's not because I didn't, you know, understand the lessons.
This is why Brian and I get along so well. It's because exactly my story.
Exactly. I'd screw around. I'd either be the class clown, or I'd be wanting to play, you know, Asteroids on my Atari instead of getting my homework done.
Right.
So how does real life as an adult? Because you can kind of remember being 17, right? That whole feeling.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
But now you know what it's like past then. Is that part of the story that, you know, you're sort of getting to this, okay, when are you going to grow up feeling? Or when are you going to take life seriously? Or
yeah.
I know what real life is. Does that happen?
Oh, yeah. No, that definitely has happened. I mean, that happens all the time with me and him. It's like, you know, how do I get him to kind of take a step back and look at it from my point of view, where, you know, when he tells me he's got all this stuff to do and he knows he's got all this work he's got to get done, and he just procrastinates and he just pushes it off. And I see it from being on the outside of it, and I try and the frustration is, how do I get him to realize it himself?
There's also a feeling of, I can relate directly to this because of similar conversations with Nick about school. He hates school. He's the spitting image of me when it comes to school. And I feel a tinge of hypocrisy when I talk to him, because he'll, you know, I'll see him going through the same stuff, and I'm supposed to take this dad stance of, you need to study and learn it and get the thing and turn it in and stay after school and do the tests and stuff, but knowing full well that I was terrible at that, and I ignored the same advice from my dad, who mm-hmm. also hated school. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. It was just a cycle.
The long line of that. Yeah. And so you have this, you know, test well, but crappy grades, which is just the story of my whole high school career, really. And I hated it to the point that I just didn't want to do it. So now when I've got somebody who I know he needs to do it, I know now the value in it. I get that I should have been better at it, and I really want him to break the mold and do better. Mm-hmm. But it's me telling him, and I feel guilty. Like, look at who's telling him. Like, why would he take me seriously? Like, I was the worst at this, and I'm telling him how to do it. Like, there's a little of that in there for me in that whole conversation.
Is there any of that for you, Brian?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
A little hypocrisy feeling. Okay.
Absolutely.
So the reason I'm having you do this, and thank you for picking a perfect example, but I don't think there's an example you could pick that wouldn't work. It's because anger has this commonality for every person. It is their own story that creates it. And what it is it anger is a cover up. Anger is always something else, but anger is the safest place to go. So it really is a defense mechanism. So if I'm afraid, or if I'm hurt, or if I'm scared, if I'm sad, if I'm lonely, if no matter what emotion, I can always make it about anger. And for many people, it goes straight to anger. They don't even know there's other feelings underneath it. Mm-hmm. So the way to kind of discover what it's really about is to dig into the story that you're telling yourself, because you're telling yourself something that ultimately makes you angry, right?
Yeah.
Or afraid or sad or hurt. And then you use anger because that's the thing you can do. So hypocrisy might be the feeling. And then, you know, you don't know what to do with it. And then what is very safe and comes very naturally is to go to the anger thing, especially a teenage father dynamic, right? Which is, get your damn stuff done so that I don't have to feel this.
Yes. Right. Cause it's not my, you know, it's not my work. It's his work, but I'm seeing my work in there. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. That's exactly the point. Nice job, Brian. You're perfect for this. Okay.
Oh, sure. It's way to go. Like you set this up.
Took a bullet. I know, right?
So take this woman's experience. So for whatever happened 6 to 8 months ago that, you know, accumulated, it could really just be stress. So take stress and your anger, for example, when you're depleted in all other areas of your life because you're stressed out, then that's when people kick the dog. That's when people yell at their kid when it's not really about the kid. But anger is this terrible. It's a wonderful thing, which we'll talk about in a second, but it's also a terrible, it sort of disperses what the real issue is. It'll go on someone else. So for example, this woman clearly is not the reason this guy is so angry. You don't scream at someone in a grocery store because you're angry at your wife. right. every second. You know what I mean? There's more to it than that. Or he's angry at the baby, or who knows what he's what the real core stuff is. But it's leaking everywhere else, right? Mm-hmm. And stress can really make that happen quicker because your resources are pretty depleted. Mm-hmm. So I would ask her a couple questions, you know, being if is this kind of his MO and it's just gotten worse because there's more stress, or is this brand new? And the reason the brand new thing is important to figure out is take your feeling of hypocrisy. So if you went to Tristan or you went to Nick, you guys, and you said, you know what? I feel like I'm nervous. I'm scared about your future. I'm worried I'm not doing the things I need to as a dad. I know what I went through. And, you know, if you told them the real story you have in your head mm-hmm. and expressed fear and expressed pain or concern or sadness, then your kid's like, what?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, totally. No, actually, Tina, we've done that. Tina more than me. And that seems to be the point at which we really seem to reach him on stuff like this.
Right. Because what does anger do? When someone is angry towards you, you have to defend yourself.
Right. Exactly. You put up the shield and then it just becomes like a war and you kind of, you forget Love the shield. Issue and just, you know, who can be the loudest or who can, who can have the last word basically.
Yeah. Right. And so I don't know this, but I think our friend overseas is potentially, you know, has fought back or is using, she's like, what? You're supposed to be on my team. Using guilt tripping or maybe passive aggressive communication, or there may be things she's doing that are like when you go down to Tristan and be like, what are you doing? You know, she may not have any idea that's what she's doing and not intend to do that. But her story is, oh my gosh, I'm being abandoned here with a child. Yeah. And he is being, you know, how can I ever be attracted to him when he's like this? And, you know, he's a dad now, and that has got to scare the crap out of her.
Yeah.
That he's that angry and flips out at strangers, and now I have a kid, and there's me, you know. So her underlying story is really impacting, I'm assuming, how she's acting. The thing generically, this is very stereotypic here, but it tends to be true, and that is men tend to go towards anger quicker. You know, sort of as a resource that is much more accessible to them and used more frequently, obviously, than it should be. And women have other sort of emotional loaded things they can do. Like burst into tears when you get pulled over or whatever,
Or just kind of, you know, not really shelter themselves, but they'll pull themselves out of that situation.
Right.
It maybe doesn't resolve it. But
we all have
passive than aggressive.
We have our gender-based weapons.
Yes, we do. That's not true for everyone. There's definitely women with anger problems. Yep. And there's men who don't get angry but retreat and kind of turn it inwards.
And it sounds like he does both. Like he gets angry, but then he also kind of retreats to his office and hides out in there.
Yeah. And so I am guessing, I don't know this, but I am guessing that whatever has, you know, the accumulation of everything that's happened, he's either had an affair or laundered money or done something terrible that he cannot deal with, and then he's taking it out on everyone else.
Wow.
That is one guess of mine, and I hope that one's not right.
You're making that guess based on actual experience. I want that to be clear here, that this isn't like you just going, maybe he's a douche and did some terrible thing. You run into these cases all the time, and
I mean,
huge number of those cases are right.
You pulled out from somebody else's email a few weeks ago that they probably looked at a lot of online porn, and then they followed up and said, oh my God, I do.
They didn't even mention it in the email.
No.
I hate being right about certain things because
so now this guy's a money launderer.
He's a money launderer. I just think money laundering is like the funniest idea, but anyway, just because I know people who
right.
have done it,
right.
and they do it in such hilarious ways, and then they go to jail. Anyway, I don't know if he's done something like that, because that's actually one of the keys in paying attention to teenagers and when their behavior shifts suddenly. Something's either happened to them or they've done something, and they're struggling to figure out how to integrate that into who they are, right?
Yeah.
So I stole this. Speaking of stealing, as we were unloading our bags in Tahoe, some car was near us, you know, just in the parking lot. And we're handing our bags in and bringing our bags in. And next thing we know, Allie's Kindle Fire was stolen.
Oh.
And these people, I think their gig is like just wait for people to unpack
at
a resort and then reach in their car and grab crap, right?
Ugh.
I know, right? So stupid. But, and then, you know, to have my child like bursts into tears.
Oh, like, she's so sweet. If you knew this little girl, I'm gonna
I know.
Kill you.
And you're sort of like, dude, do you know? I assume it's a dude. Anyway.
white, know, a little right? more of the white male privilege out there and kicking in with the fire.
I know, but if it was a woman, we would not have suspected. And we did not see it. Whatever they, however they did it, that was amazing because Adam was near the car the whole time.
Yeah.
And they parked and people were wandering around and they just walked by and reached in like, who the, anyway. Who
does that? Jeez.
But my point is,
I'm getting angry. What does that mean now that I'm angry? Because I'm pissed about that.
Well, why you're angry about that is, first of all, that's something that every one of us could be victimized by, right? Yeah. Everyone could have that occur. And I just like that person to know if they're listening that I'm not going to let it bother me. So screw you.
I don't know if we have that reach, but maybe they're listening. Yeah,
I'm hoping not. Anyway, but if you take that person who stole that thing and you say to yourself, okay, well, can they live with themselves? I could not live with myself, partly because I haven't had any practice doing that,
right.
So I'm not used to stealing other people's stuff.
Desensitized towards, right?
They may not. They may sleep just fine.
Hmm.
However, at some point when they started stealing and knew that that was sort of against social norms and probably not okay in some form, they had to integrate that into their personality, into their life, right? Mm-hmm. And so each of us will make mistakes. Each of us have a weakness or something we're not proud of or whatever. And when that occurs, what do we do with that information? It creates cognitive dissonance, which is, who am I that I would do that? And you know, the words that came out of my mouth were, who does that?
Yeah, of course it was.
Mm-hmm.
So how is it possible that I come from the same planet as everyone else and the person who does the stealing or the, you know.
You're describing every caustic experience I've had via email or Twitter. I mean, that is where my head is every time. Who says things like this? The guy that called and said my marriage with my wife is a terrible example and that people shouldn't be led to believe that it's possible to have a 20-year happy marriage. Remember that?
Yeah, right.
To this day, I still cannot understand where that person is, who they are, and what alien planet they came from. It's the same weird feeling. And that's what gets me mad because I don't understand it. So I don't know how much my story plays into that. But because I don't get where the hell people like that come from.
Well, 90% of the time, I mean, the stories that come up here are internal. Like this guy obviously, this guy seems to have some issue with himself that he's angry about, an issue with his own relationship, his own marriage.
Sure.
And feels jealous that you appear to have this idyllic situation.
I guess. But all I can do is guess, you know?
Right.
That's why I hate it so much, because all I can do is build a scenario that doesn't make sense. Like, who are you and what are you doing?
You're getting angry because you feel helpless.
Yes.
Yes. Nice. Brian, I don't need to come on the show.
Therapy Fridays with Brian starts tomorrow.
No, wow. And he's totally right. But think about what your defense is. Why aren't you sad for that person? Why are you angry?
Yeah. Well, partly because your really, fire think got about stolen. That.
When you ask yourself that question, who does that? I mean, I have this philosophy, and I even can transfer it to this person who waited by our car and stole something from my baby girl.
Right.
that I have this response. At first, I'm like really irritated, like who does that? And then I go to this place of, oh my gosh, how sad is your life that you're going to steal a pink covered electronic from a child under the nose of the dad who's unloading a thing? Like, wow, what happened to you?
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And so what happens for me is that I go right to the actual feeling. I can still be angry. Now, let me make this clear. It's not terrible to be angry. Yeah. It's a human thing that is crucial to our survival. We have to, you know, think about what anger gets done.
Yeah.
Right. If we can't defend ourselves, if we were all just sad or hurt and just laid there in the ditch, you know, there'd be a lot of problems.
Yeah.
So it
Words
really
sure
serves
be a lot shorter.
Yeah.
It serves a lot of purposes, but in the end, what are we really doing? So then there's anger that's sort of out of control. There's anger that's necessary. You know, the driving anger, right? Someone just cut me off. Holy crap, my heart is racing. We almost died. And I'm really angry at that person. It goes right to anger.
Yeah.
If you've had a kid run in the street, you know what I'm talking about, where you are terrified. And then the second you have that kid by the arm, you're ready to kill them.
Yeah.
Right. It's like a relief and anger and, you know.
Yeah.
adrenaline and
sure. It's all of those things. And so that is all very normal. It keeps us safe. The problem is it gets hijacked by our stories and it builds and builds. And then we don't release it in healthy ways. We don't go to what it really is about. So this guy, it may be about, I am failing. I'm failing everything I'm doing. I have this new job that I feel like I'm sucking at. My wife is mad at me all the time. I'm never enough. I don't know how to be a dad. You name it. What's really going on with him? He is clearly just using a behavioral tool. He knows how. That or he's money laundering or
well, he could easily be angry that he's having a hard time controlling his anger and feels
totally helpless. And it's cyclical. Yeah. And so then the answer is, or the question is, what does she do about this? And the first thing is get a therapist to help you handle it better so that you are not contributing. It's not that it's her fault he's angry. It's that maybe her approach to his anger is not helping. It's making things worse. And what can she tweak? How can she learn to talk to him a little bit differently? How can she, because I know when anger comes up in a relationship for me, it's that I want something they're not giving, right? Mm-hmm. And it's again, that self-preservation thing of like, give it to me. I need this from you. And maybe they, you know, maybe he can't give you some of the things that she's needing. And how is she asking for them? Because she's probably still asking, but it might be moping or punishing or, you know, it might be some other behaviors that really are not. And maybe she's an angel and she's doing everything right. I don't know. But it's important for her to figure that out because that's all she can change right now. She can't change him. She can't stop him from being angry. But the window will open, just like when you guys go to Tristan or you go to Nick and you talk about your real feelings, not the anger feelings, not the, I know what I'm saying, but I'm yelling it.
Yeah.
They're not going to hear it. They're going to hear defense, right?
Yeah.
And they're going to put up their wall. But when they hear I'm scared or my feelings were hurt when you said that, or, you know, you get to the sad, angry, whatever feelings or sad and hurt feelings, then what are they going to do? That's going to get through. And so if she can approach this in different ways, it's potentially more beneficial because he's going to actually hear her rather than hear one more demand on him, right?
Right.
I'm assuming it's that. I really don't think it's money laundering, but I think that's something important to rule out. And that really, sadly, is kind of the job of what a therapist does is whenever I have a couple come in, I always have to find out what is the secret storyline that no one here is telling me? Mm-hmm. Which is why I tend to read into situations because you're sort of like, okay, there's got to be something else here.
Right.
And they're always surprised. Like, how did you know? I'm like, it's kind of obvious because you went suddenly crazy at 8 months ago.
Yeah.
You know, what is that about? And then human nature is when we have a cognitive dissonance, we either sort of cover it up. We just self-loathe on our free time and say, well, I'm a terrible person. And I'll just keep doing it.
Yeah.
But there's all sorts of ways we sort of have to find a new balance. And it sounds like he's very unaware of what that new balance looks like with all the stress in his life. And you know, the new kid. I mean, and you both dads.
Yep.
That can be, it's so life altering. Mm-hmm. And they it sounds like they don't have a ton of support maybe where they are. So there's not a break. There's not, hey, someone watches the kid while we go on a date.
Yeah, or, the mother-in-law, you know, is not there to take him over and right. have the kid be there for the afternoon or something.
Right. So find some other expats and have them help you because you need to keep dating your husband. And I think that's whether he, because here's the thing about anger. Anger is so off-putting for everyone around it, right? You're just like, okay,
yeah.
I'm back up. And so what, you know, she's feeling withdrawn from him just as he's withdrawing from her. And if I got them both in the same room, I could find out that they both think the other person's doing it, by the way.
Yeah.
And so what is a way that she can reach out and spend more time with him? She's saying he says he wants to work on the relationship, but he doesn't do anything that looks like working on a relationship.
Yeah.
And so I would ask her, cause he's not ready to come in yet. I would say, so tell me the things you're doing that work on the relationship. And if it's trying to get him to talk, that does not work when someone's angry.
Yeah.
Right away. Yeah. You know, he's got to feel some safety and some love. And there's also a thing, I'm just throwing this out there, that dads will initially, when kids are born, because moms have so much more physical contact with the baby, especially if they're breastfeeding, and so much more sort of, their brains tend to go into that relationship more than a dad if they're not involved. Dads can be just involved. I'm not saying they're not, but I think sometimes women sort of do that and then men can feel really excluded. Mm. And so it's possible that he feels like that kid just took my life and took my wife. Mm. And I'm supposed to love it, but I'm kind of mad at it at the same time. So there might be some interesting ambivalence, or he may adore the child and that's all good. She doesn't really mention that. Mm. But that might be a dynamic that needs to be explored, because that is not an uncommon thing where the primary caregiver doesn't kind of realize why the other caregiver is not really as involved. And it has some to do with how you handle it, yeah. Right?
I was going to say, one of my favorite things about, so you talking about how, you know, you get a sense for these things. You'll hear the story and then you'll immediately go, make sure there's no money laundering. You know, you kind of have these intuitions from your experience about where people are at and kind of cutting down to the truth real quick.
Yeah.
And I got to say, it is a really weird experience to be around Wendy when she has one of these in a public setting where she has one of these intuitions. So I remember, I'm not going to get real specific here, but we're sitting around with a group of people and one of the people keeps saying that they accidentally are taking a prescription drug when they mean to be taking like a Tylenol or something. Like it was just like, oh, I don't know why. I accidentally took it. I don't know why. I didn't mean to take it again. This happened like four times or something. And I look around the group and everybody has a look on their face like, oh yeah, what a bummer that is. That's a bummer to accidentally take the wrong pill. And I get around to Wendy and her face says something very different. Her face says, forgetting or
taking the wrong
pill, eh? Four times in a row, eh? So it's like, it's a really funny thing, because there are times where I'm like, I feel like everybody's kind of an open book when Wendy sees them, just based on a few cues and visual things. And some of it, sure, it's her making assumptions that she has to explore further or whatever. But I think it puts some people just a tiny bit on edge, like, oh no, she can see my weenus or whatever, you know? So anyway, just a thing I wanted to mention.
I don't do it on purpose. It just happens. Yeah. It's obvious. Like it's like you can't ignore if someone, you know, suddenly wears a really obnoxious hat. Everyone's going to look at the hat. And I think, why is no one else seeing this hat?
I think it's great.
You feel a little crazy.
I think it's what drove you to do what you do. So
I guess. I don't know. I feel like it's been trained into me, because I felt pretty clueless before then.
Yeah.
Anyway, let me finalize kind of what I would suggest for her to do is that she...
Homework is what this is.
Homework, yeah. Everybody. This homework extends to any one of you who has this anger thing going on in any form, because we all do, and it's good. We're human. That's a helpful, you know, response. But if you are listening to this and you're even thinking, yeah, I kind of hate when that happens and I'm sort of more angry than I want to be or intend to be. Mm-hmm. There's just a little thought experiment you can do that the more you do, can really benefit you. So I give you an example of what I do when people steal from me or hurt other people, or, you know, is I allow myself to be hurt or angry or frustrated or whatever the feeling is. And then I don't dwell there very long. I don't stay in the victim place. I actually transfer that to who does that is someone who's really hurt. And so then I can sort of extend compassion to that other person. That's why I put I've told this on the story show before, my car in front of my house gets literally broken into probably every other day, and not in a malicious way, just in the change drawer. It's just on a street. Our houses, we don't have big garages, so everyone parks on the street. So people just walk by and open doors and see if there's change. Well, they don't, you know, I don't want to break a window. So I leave my doors unlocked. It's a Vermont thing I learned back there. No one locks their doors. And then they come and they open the change door. And the only reason I know they've come in is because they leave the drawers open. Like, really? Just shut the drawers. How hard is that? Anyway.
They have to let somebody know they were there. Sure.
Yeah. And they do. And so then I go in and I think, so I feel violated for a minute. Like, whoa. And I think, who does that? And then I think, yeah, someone who needs drugs really bad or someone who whatever. And so then I leave money in there and a note like, feel free to take this money. Hope your life gets better or something. And what happens is I just took all the power back, because I'm giving them my money. I'm not being taken from. And it's a small thing with the Kindle. Yes, I'd like the Kindle back. Thank you. But I also is sort of like, okay, I can give that person a level of understanding that you know, what it does is it helps me. They don't know. They have no idea that I'm thinking, well, maybe the guy who gets my note and my dollar from my car changed, he may know. Right. The funny thing is it hasn't happened in a long time. After I gave the money with the note, they stopped coming. So,
oh, weird.
Whatever that's about. Anyway, so, but take your anger. If you're listening to this and you think I have anger, you got to ask yourself what I did with Brian. What is my story? What is the story I'm telling myself that is making me so angry?
Yeah.
And then what's the story below that? Because our first story is usually it's still the other person's fault.
Right.
And then we got to get deeper and deeper and calm down. So here's the little thought experiment.
Once you get to yourself, you know you've struck pay dirt.
that's where it's actually at. So take your driving. That's probably one of our most common things for those of you who drive when someone cuts you off or whatever. The next time you feel angry driving, I want you to try this where you first say, okay, why am I angry? And then and the story is, well, that person almost cut me off. They could have hit my car and caused an accident. Okay, is that, what's the feeling really behind that? And it's fear. It's normal. It's adrenaline rush. It's all those things, right? So then you can say, that scared me. And I felt like that person just could care less that, you know, they almost swiped me. And so then that the next thought is, have I ever done that to someone else? Can you extend to that person any kind of courtesy you wish others would have for you? Because you know you've cut someone off and felt terrible or like, oh, I did not see that cut light or that bucket in the road or, you know, and you just, you know that the people around you are like, what are they doing? And you wish you could like text them all like, hey, no texting while driving, but we're all good. You know, I'm sorry.
Right. Yeah.
So anyway, so you walk yourself through the, what is the story and what is the actual feeling I'm feeling? And then attempt to extend some compassion to the other person. Just practice it. It's astounding how quickly, if your anger problem isn't deep, if it's deep, you probably need more help than this. Yeah. But to just start to practice that. So Scott, take your tweeter that says, you know, I think it's irresponsible to talk about your happy marriage.
Yeah. And say to yourself, basically that is what it boils down to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So why did that bug you? And, you know, what's the story there? Well, the story, whatever. What is the actual feeling? And then extend some compassion to that person.
That's then, so hard for me to do, but you're right.
I know. Because part of it is they attacked something that is so important to you.
Yeah.
And so what do we do when we're attacked is we guard, right?
Yeah, defenses.
And that
go
is
up.
What's happening with this couple is that for whatever reason, this guy is feeling attacked. When you're yelling at a stranger in a line.
Yeah.
Like, you know that it's gone beyond just your personal.
Yeah, that's something new.
Relationships. Yeah. Yeah. So when that happens, and people will describe this, they'll describe seeing red. You know, you've heard that phrase.
Mm-hmm.
That is literal. They will literally see things will be shaded pink and red.
Weird.
And so if you have not had that experience, this little thought experiment might work for you. But if you have seen red or are seeing red or, you know, you literally get some weird tunnel vision. There's a response in your brain to those levels of anger. And you need professional help probably if you're having that experience. Because the unfortunate thing is this typically escalates. This doesn't get better naturally.
Yeah.
It typically escalates because your thinking gets so skewed. So Brian did a great job of digging deeper. But when I'm talking to someone who has chronic anger problems, they are unable to identify any layer other than that person's a jerk.
Yeah.
And it takes a while and it takes some work. And it often groups are really helpful for anger management. And I know this lady's probably like, we live in China, you know, what are we supposed to do? You know, so understandably, but there is help if he's gets to that point, but he's not going to be influenced much by her if he sees her as the enemy.
Yeah. Ooh.
Some alarm going off in this room.
What is that, Brian?
Must mean
our
time is up.
Our time is up.
Our time is up. The band is playing you off the stage. It's a really interesting topic and an important one. And I can say from personal experience that I promised not to ever share on the air, but I had an experience with Nick where there could have been a lot of anger. And instead I took the road Wendy's talking about. And it was a real moment for Nick and I, like a real growth, moment and bonding moment that I didn't quite expect from it. And it's mostly because Kim talked me down from the anger tree and I backed off and approached a situation very differently. I'm trying to talk him into let me talk about it because it isn't that big of a deal. He basically broke something that he
did he show up at your back home when he should have been in school about 8 o'clock with his friends want money for ice cream?
No, not quite that. Although I'm very interested to see how that pans out. But it was something else, and it's just an object. And Kim was right about my reaction, and my reaction changed Nick's outlook, at least for that week. It just changed the way he thought about things. And all it really came down to is me just being a little bit humble and not such an ass out of the gate.
And you bring up a really valuable thing, and that is some space and breathing. Mm-hmm. So that tunnel vision thing I'm talking about, when you guys are angry, and you probably aren't aware of this, but if we took a picture of you and then scanned you, what we would see is that you have your jaws clenched, your fists are clenched, your restricted breathing, your vision is narrowed. There's all sorts of physiological responses too, because you're in fight or flight, right? And anger is the fight part. Mm-hmm. And so you're having this adrenaline rush that creates a certain, like the way you look, the way you're behaving. And one way is to trick your body into relaxing. Mm. So in that moment, when you're restricting your breathing, if you can become aware, like Kim's talking down the angry tree, is you're going to start breathing normally. And that means your brain gets more oxygen, which means you think better. So, I mean, there's definitely a reality to, going with your first response. This is why for anger management, for most people, they have to learn how to create space between the situation, dig into the story. Notice the story analysis has a lot to do with getting into your rational brain and a little bit out of your emotional brain.
Yeah.
And so that can be really impactful. So get off your angry tree, breathe deeply.
Stay out of that angry tree, everybody. That's today's advice. All right, Wendy, fantastic stuff. I would like to let people know if they keep their eye open, they'll notice we the next day or so we're submitting final Kickstarter stuff to Kickstarter for approval for the upcoming therapy show with Wendy and I. 12 episodes to start with, and it's going to be rad. So if you're looking forward to that as much as I am, then you should be, because it's going to be good. So watch for that. It'll be on. I'll post it on Twitter and the website and everywhere else. We'll talk about it on the show, of course. So that's coming up. Anything else, Wendy? You should mention. Say,
I'm just going to remind everyone out there to not steal from children.
Yes. It's not cool. It's not cool.
If the case is pink, you can assume it's an 11-year-old girl, okay?
Right. So don't do it. Or a brony. It could be a brony, but you don't know.
It could be a total brony.
Yeah. You're aware of bronies, right? You know what that is.
I do. We should have a whole show on that.
We should have a show on bronies, because I want to understand, because I don't have any judgment toward it. They're just fandom. It's fandom to the extreme, like any other fan-based thing. But I would love to have a conversation about why everyone has decided that there should be a stigma attached to it. I think that would be interesting.
I think you'd be surprised to hear this, but I think the Brony show absolutely relates to today's show.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah, but then I'd have to get all into...
Bronies make me angry.
male emotional lives. And so, yeah. So I'd be happy to talk about it.
Okay, because it's a controversial piece of business, that whole thing. So we'll have to see how that goes in the future. All right, Wendy, you have a fantastic...
I would not condemn the individual brony so much as the culture at large that creates. Yeah, so that would be fun. So someone email in about your broniness.
Yeah, because we have plenty of listeners who do, and that'd be fun. Wendy, stay out of trouble. Have fun. Don't lose any Kindle Fires. Bye.
Okay.
All right. There you go. We never got to that email. Let's read that real quick.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We sponsored it, but...
we didn't say it.
That's right. Yeah, go ahead.
All right, here it is. Hold on.
I was going to read this. For some reason, I was thinking I was going to read the sponsor again. I'm not going to do that.
No, you're not going
to
do that.
Diary of a Cartoonist. Go listen to it, people.
Yeah, geez, listen. All right. I opened Firefox this morning to catch the morning stream live on your live streaming page, and the normal video box was gone. The connect to Thinstack IRC had moved up to where the video box usually is. I closed and reopened Firefox. Still gone. No live feed. I opened Chrome and got the usual video feed and watched the rest of the show. Will you check what happened to cause this, please? Said Doug. Doug, I have no idea.
He did not send that in all caps.
No, but I have no idea what he's... I have no idea why that happened. I don't know what's going on.
We're protesting Mozilla's support of...
Yeah, what's their deal? They got some...
Isn't that the anti-gay marriage thing?
Oh, they're
thing?
The anti-gay like, deal, yeah.
The Cupid thing, the OK Cupid.
Something. I forget.
Maybe, you know what? And maybe Twitch is doing something like that. Like they're...
Oh, right, because somebody else was doing that too. Some other site was blocking their services from Mozilla users.
Right.
I can't remember who, though.
Well, OkCupid was the one that I remember.
Oh,
hearing about.
Right. That's them.
They had a message on there saying, "Yeah, please use another browser."
Yeah, don't use this. It sucks. But now that guy got fired or quit or whatever happened. So I think it's all good now.
So maybe stuff will come
whiskey
back
under the bridge, as the country musician says.
Who knows? Yeah, other people say they're watching on Firefox, so I don't know if it's specific to...
I think you just had a glitch one time. I don't control that. I have no idea how that works.
Yeah.
So there you go.
I like that you read a tech support email.
Yeah. You like that?
That's the email segment, yes.
You betcha. No problem. That's what I do. Okay, we're going to call Cleo. I don't know if she's... I assume she's
there.
By
the way, before we call Cleo,
yeah,
can I just tell you about this funny interaction that just happened on Twitter?
Yeah, go ahead.
Nancy Grace apparently just tweeted something like, "How many people must die before this stops? ! #pot to blame.
What was
response,
it?
Response, I have no idea. But response from Seth Rogen, Nancy Grace, or at Nancy Grace, "You are an effing dumbass."
Oh, jeez.
I just waited to see. James Franco likes this.
Did he then go, whatever?
I'm sure he did.
Okay.
I'm sure he did.
What a weird thing that is. Nancy Grace is that Fox lady woman. Yeah, no, what is she?
The CNN, the headline news. CNN.
Oh, right. She's weird.
Blonde helmet head who, won't somebody think of the children?
Blonde helmet head. All right. Hey, look who it is. It's Cleo.
Yay. Hi, guys. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
How are you?
I am hanging in there. Hey, before we get started with points, I want to thank you guys for what you did for my family.
Oh,
that
we
was
were,
very sweet.
It was the easiest thing in the world because
Do the same for us.
Y'all were going through it, man, and it looked rough. And when Nicole suggested this idea, I was like, hell to the yes. I'm so glad we have women in our lives, and I do not mean this in a sexist way. Dudes don't think of good ideas like this. Ladies are like got the finger on the pulse of what is needed sometimes.
You know what? How do you know Mark Spagnuolo didn't come up with that?
Because I know Mark well enough to say that isn't true. But I can say that it was not even a hesitation. We were happy to help, and I'm glad you guys are doing a little bit better and that we could do that one small thing for you guys. So.
Yes, we are reaping the benefit of that in many, many ways.
No
Thank
worries.
Thank you very, very much.
No worries from us.
Wonderful.
Well, good.
And hey, love Wendy's segment, but I come out of this every week realizing I am an angry bitch. Oh, my God. I have rage about all the things. Well, oh, my goodness.
That's all right. See, now you just got it. Now you got a little new advice today. You can try it out, see how it fits.
It's all That's within right. you, Cleo.
It's all in you.
My husband will start thinking that I'm taking all the pills if I start calming down. I don't know what's going on.
Well, I'm glad. How's your foot? Your foot better?
Yeah, my foot's pretty good. Right. There comes a point where you just go, all right, I can't walk like a normal person. Mm. So I just gave up and started slamming sneakers on it because I said, I can't walk around with this big brace-looking thing and get anything accomplished.
Yeah,
so,
it's like wearing a moon boot in July. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I just said, forget it. It'll get better eventually.
Well,
and
good.
It's okay. You know, good. We'll live with it.
All right. Well, you're here to sum up the week, and I know it's been a crazy couple of weeks for you, so I don't know how this is going to go, but you give us whatever you got. We'll take
it. I'm going to go back to the beginning of the month, and the first question I have is, what ended up being, although you hate it, your favorite April Fool's joke that you found out across?
Jeez, did I have a favorite? I hate them all, but I'm going to say I hate the holiday and what it's become, but I think I like the creative things happening at Blizzard and ThinkGeek. Whenever they make something...
Geek. For it's me, good. ThinkGeek always like that's the only site that I actually go to intentionally on April Fool's Day to see what they come.
Yeah,
up
you
with.
Go out of your way to actually see what they did. You don't have to be told or find it accidentally. Like that's I think that's about it for me. Anything else?
Yeah.
I mean, there were a few, like the one that went around that's saying Netflix has acquired the rights to relaunch Firefly on Netflix. Deal sealed and done. People are still reporting that as fact, and it was a joke. And even it's gone so far as to have people like the girl that plays Kaylee come out and say, whoever came up with that joke, thanks a lot. You made more email problems and phone calls for me than I've ever had in my life. And it continues to just like be the worst thing ever. So it's those things I hate because it's just kind of mean and people feel dumb when they believe it. And Facebook, like today, somebody put on Facebook, "Did you guys see this? I'm so excited." And I said, "Did you see the date on there?" Here's the rule. People should remove their posts after the first. Once you've done it and the joke's done, the day is over, remove your post then.
Right. Because it's still floating out there, searchable, findable. Right.
Yeah. As a
I like the stuff that happens during the day and then quietly goes away and leaves people wondering if they actually saw it happen or not. And the first part, my favorite of all day, Art Genier actually let me know what was going on, so he's getting points for it. The entire CERN website was in Comic Sans.
Oh, my.
I laughed so hard. You can't read about the Hadron Collider and all this serious physical business in Comic Sans and take it seriously.
Yeah, that's
that
true.
Was not bad.
That's true. I was pissed at Huffington Post, where I get a lot of dumb articles, because they turned it all into cat stuff, all animated cat noises the whole day. So I couldn't even use the freaking site. It was ridiculous.
Oh, but that's what Arianna Huffington sounds like anyway.
Oh, you got to hear that interview, cat Brian. Noises. That interview was so weird. So weird.
Right.
Anyway.
All right, going back even further, remember the guy that ate the fork?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, Warcrusher's comment was, let's just say this guy didn't have an exit strategy.
No, he didn't.
No, he did not. During Scott's Adventures in Local Cuisine, Free Rangers said weird meat and some olives was his stripper name.
Oh, lovely.
That's good. Nice.
That's really nice.
While Coverville was playing the Walking Dead slot machine in Vegas, Lyra wanted to know if the slot machine only had one arm.
Oh. Of course it did.
Of course it did. And while Justin Bieber smashed up an Ontario Walmart, I-Corps was disappointed because this is the reason why Walmart can't have nice things.
Oh, that's right. What was Wonder and, why?
On fire for April. Holy cow.
That's right. And talking about recommendals yesterday with Nicole, you guys were talking about the Ghost Whisperer and the Horse Whisperer, and E. Kardashinsky said, I looked up the Wood Whisperer, and it's the most disappointing porn movie I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, it is. All of them. Real boring.
That was your winner, kids.
Nice job. Oh, Cleo, it's good to have you back. Glad you're feeling better. And our best to everybody, and Eden and everybody. I hope everything's going good for you guys.
We are. Thanks, guys. We'll see you.
See you later.
Bye.
All right. They've been through a month over there.
No kidding.
We're done, everybody. Guess what? Later tonight, due to your Patreon support at patreon.com/TMS, we'll be back with a TMS PM, 5:30 PM tonight here on Frog Pants Network. Same link, same everything. 5:30 PM Mountain Time. Me and Brian doing that extra show on a Thursday evening. Also, a new Comic Dorks later tonight, so watch for that. Talk about the Winter Soldier and many more things. Well, that'll be fun.
Cool. Oh, very cool.
That's it. I think we're done. Frogpants.com/TMS is the website. TheMorningStream@gmail.com is our email address. On Twitter, MorningStream, Scott Johnson, und Coverville. New Coverville today as well?
Yes, sir. Absolutely. Yeah, today is a Cure cover story. Robert Smith is going to be turning 55 this week.
Mm.
And so make sure you get him some nice new lipstick. Probably going to couple that with songs about doctors and medicine, because it's going to be an ounce of prevention and a pound of cure on the show today.
I love it.
That's the plan because
the Cure's on. I get it.
Yes,
I love the Cure. It's Friday. I'm in love. All right.
There will be a cover of that, I'm sure.
Well, of course there will be. That's it for us. Let's get out of here with some music. How about that? What do you say to that?
How do I say to that?
How do you say to that? Because I really kind of wanted like to know. Or whatever she said.
Really seriously, I wanted to know. hi, Slurms McKenzie and Captain Brannigan. Okay. On April 19th, 2014, my fiance Warren and I will be getting married in a crazy place called Hicksville Trailer Palace in the desert of Joshua Tree, California.
Awesome.
The theme of the wedding is the Great American Road Trip. I love that.
Yeah.
We'll be going on said road trip in the summer, the culmination of which is Nerdtacular 2014. This will be our third Nerdtacular, and we're so excited to have our honeymoon end on such an awesome and fun event. That being said, I'd like to dedicate a song to my future husband. If you could please play Hybrid Moments by the Bouncing Souls, I would be ever so grateful. If it's too risque, I'll take any Misfits cover. The Misfits are important to us for a number of reasons, but I'm not going to open that weird door now. You can ask us at Nerdtacular. I've got something to say. It's dangerous to go alone, so I'll take Warren with me on this epic adventure called marriage.
Aww.
Love you, close buddy. Throw the snow, bro. Laura Landoff.
That's cute.
Yes. So I listened to the song. I don't think it's risque at all. There's no F-bombs in there. I can see the word maybe that she's got a concern about. And I think it's in the context that it's used in, it's harmless. It's a harmless
mulva.
Word, so.
It's mulva.
Mulva. Okay. They use the term mulva. I wasn't going to say it out loud.
Sorry. Oh, boy. FDA. FDA? No, that's Federal Drug Administration.
Yeah, FCC. FCC is going to be worried about, yes.
Right, yeah.
And the FDA, because mulva has not been approved for... as a food substance.
Sure.
Rabbit hole there.
Yeah.
So let's go ahead and jump to the song, shall we? Sure. Hybrid Moments. This comes from a band called The Bouncing Souls. It is a cover of The Misfits and was released on their 2011 album, Complete Control Sessions. Here are The Bouncing Souls and Hybrid Moments.
All right. We'll be back tonight and then Monday and then the rest of the week next week. Hope you guys had a good one. We did. See you then.
If you want to scream, then scream with me. Moments like this never live. And when new creatures wreck your vest, hybrids open up the door.
One who's no wilder than I was when I was his age and lived among the apes.